Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands and bless the name of the Lord from the depth of our heart? Bless the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Ancient of Days himself. I am that I am. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The hell owe him. The only wise God. The Lord of hosts. Lift your voice where you stand and give the Lord befitting praise and honor. And bless him. And bless him. Oh, we bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, O go me fu baba. Ma fi jo fil yi olonwa. Alaye mi o yi obotie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, O go me fu baba. Ma fi jo ilu yi Olorun wa halai mi o yi obo ti e hallelujah.
We bless you, Jesus. We give you praise from the depth of our heart. Lift your hands, church, and let your heart be full of gratitude. Truly be grateful. Truly be grateful. Let your heart be full of his praise.
Hallelujah, go mi fu baba. Ma fijo ilu yi Olorun wa alai ni o yi obo ti e hallelujah.
Ki la fi san ja won ti ku ti pa iwo lo fa gbogbo wa ni ori ise ife re lo gba wa ninu ewu. Echoing for Baoni Bure. Hallelujah, O go me from Baba. Rafi Jogi. The depth of our heart, we say thank you. As a people, as your church, thank you. Thank you for the beginning of a new journey. For year one, year two, year three, year four, here we are standing and saying thank you. We honor you, Father. We give you praise.
Especially we thank you for all fathers in this house, for preservation. They didn't give birth to their children behind them. Your hand kept everyone. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you for provision, for protection. Thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Hallelujah. Can we rejoice and give the Lord a big clap? Amen. Why not do that well and do it better? Hallelujah. Thank you. Please be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Streams of Life. Thank you. Help with my sound. All right. I think it's okay. Amen. That was so much life from Streams of Life this morning. Can we celebrate them? So much, so much, so much. Thank you for blessing us. Hallelujah. Who is excited to be in church? All right. So we start a new series today. And it's going to be a very, very interesting journey. And I want to please beg that you don't miss any one of this teaching. Is that okay? Is that clear enough? Good. I'm not intending to take the teaching for too long. I will have to take this series 2 more times before this year ends. So I'm going to start from the most basic. And I will give you some weeks to digest that. Then we take it a step higher again. Is that okay? Is that simple enough? Good. So I want to show us a scripture. To lay the foundation on the subject of consecration. And I'm going to bring definition scripturally with this scripture. So let's turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter number 6. Numbers chapter number 6. I like for the projection to be faster than usual today. We're going to start the reading from verse 1. Numbers chapter number 6. We start the reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when a man or a woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar or strong drink, and shall neither drink, shall he drink any liquor of grapes. Alright, that describes fermented grapes. Nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels or from the husk. All the days of his vows, all the days of the vow of his separation shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled. In the which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die. Because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. So, when you read this scripture, the next thing or the individual that should come to your heart necessarily is who? Samson. Just a very quick litmus test. If you read a passage of scripture and references are not jumping at you, it shows that you might be a church member, you are not a student of the word. And until you are a student, you can't survive the darkness that is out there. Please, it's Samson. So, the instruction governing the life of Samson was not specifically about Samson alone. And come to think of it, every instruction governing the life of Samson was also the same instruction governing the life of Samuel. Because he was also a Nazarite. Are you aware of that? John the Baptist was also a Nazarite. How come they succeeded, but one failed? So if you look at the life of Samson, Judges, chapter number 13. I started reading from verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and no drink, not wine, nor strong drink. Therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, or eat anything any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So, meaning that for the period of the time that you are bearing this child, the consecration of this child is not until you have given birth to this child. The consecration begins from the womb. And that's the mistake many people make. You think you begin to pray for your children when you give birth to them. You discern, you decode what kind, what manner of child is coming. And particularly so you can position your life at an angle to be able to wield such gift. Are you following what I'm saying? So he said, this child shall be a Nazarite from the womb. What does that mean? The journey he has with God starts before you even give birth to him. So, hey, separate yourself. When you give birth to this child, you may go back to drinking your liquor. But as long as you are carrying this treasure in this earthen vessel, be separated. So what does it mean to be consecrated? In simple terms, it means to be devoted. It means to be separated. That's the simple meaning. To be separated. So in scriptural terms, consecration refers to separation unto God. Unto who? Say loud and clear. Say separation unto God. Come on, say it again loud and clear. Say it again loud and clear. Separation unto God. Alright? This child shall be a Nazarite, one that is given to the Lord. And these are the codes that binds his life. He can't do this. He can't do that. He can't do this. He has to be separated. I'm not remember the story when David was running from Saul. And he ran to Zadok, the priest. That should be 1 Samuel
20. Let me search that place out. And he was hungry. And he asked the priest, is there bread? And the priest said, well, the kind of bread that is available is hallowed bread. But if the men have at least kept themselves from women. And David said, we are pure. Then he partook of that bread. He said, do you have a sword? He said, well, there's no sword, but the sword of God, that one that with which you cut his head, is being kept in the house of God. Right? And he took. There are some bread you can't eat until you are separated. Let me say this to you. Whenever I talk to you, I speak from a burden. And one of my major concerns is that I know that many things have your ears. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, let me say this. If it is journey with God, if it is journey into his purpose, you cannot do it by living anyhow. You cannot become anything significant with God by living the life. Let me use this word and permit me just use that word. It is not describing anyone, but it's just a context. By living the life of an allot. You know who an allot is? Anything goes. Anybody. Anytime. Any day. That life of field. There is no awareness that I've been separated to God. And I am not everybody. Just follow me. I want to show you a couple of more scriptures. Give me Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 19. Now, very interesting story here. Please follow along as we read. All right, from verse 1. In the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Yes. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel came before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bared thee on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For the earth is mine. Meaning that you are not like every other nation. If you will give attention to me, I am about to separate you, but that separation is not bonanza. I'm about to make you a treasure above nations of the earth. But you see, that treasure, and people ask, is God a racist? Why will God say he's choosing the Israelites out of this, out of all nations? What's up with the Israelites? Why will God, you know what it means for God to find a man from whose loins, on the strength of perpetual covenant, he will someday bring out the desire, the solution to the problem of the world. It's a big deal. I said it's a big deal. Are you aware this world would have been long wiped away without the Messiah? Long wiped. And even with the presence of Jesus, look at what the world is becoming. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, he said, if you, all right, follow my instruction, I will make you a peculiar treasure. If you live generally like every other person, you will end up like every other person. If your level of sacrifice is like every other person, your result will be like every other person. If your devotion is like every other person, what God can make out of your life will be like every other person. Are you following what I'm saying here? When God finds people that are devoted for his purpose, separated from the crowd, alright, listen to me now, because it's going to get serious. Living with instructions that others not doing them does not make them a sinner.
Are you following what I'm saying?
If people choose not to do this, they are not sinners. They are just not at that level of relationship with God. When you know what consecration is and you live by it, your own will be too much for people who are ordinary. Let me give you an instance. If somebody strolls in now, coming to church this morning, and I cannot call the person after service and say, why did you come to church at that time? Why? The level of operation of the individual, alright, there's a word for it. I'm a member. That means I have no obligation here. I can choose. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, so this is the time I feel convenient and all that. Alright, no, you're welcome. No usher will say, why are you just coming? I know. Hey, but imagine just teaching now, and then Pastor Tumishe now comes in with 3-quarter, and then put one bull chain on his chest, and then one glass like that, and then sag the trouser, and is bouncing and coming. There's a way I look at him. He will say, usher, help me. Amen. Now, what you call sin is not necessarily transgression generally. It depends on the level of proximity. What is a lifestyle for some may be sinful for others. Some of you can live the life of living throughout the year, never study the chapter of the Bible, and you are still fine. Anyways, if you don't have life devoted unto God, you can't live well. That's the truth. You may pretend. You may package it. But you'll be decaying on the inside. So it's a lot when God brings people in a level and say, can I bring you to this level? Say yes. And say, all right, come up higher. Ah, when you come up higher, the rules of engagement changes. The rules of engagement changes. And that's what happens in life. Every day you mix with people who are at different level of relationship with God. And sometimes you get people say that, this is a Christian, but this is a Christian also saying I should do this now. This is a Christian also saying I can do. Listen to me, there are things that others can do or may do that you cannot. Not because it is necessarily written anywhere in scripture that it is a sin. But because on the strength of my relationship with God, there are certain things that are lawful but not expedient. Are you following what I'm telling you now? Is this simple enough what I'm showing you? I'm still going somewhere. On the strength of what God has separated me for. Let's continue reading the scripture. Go to verse 6 quickly. All right, the heart is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And an holy nation. What does it mean to be holy? Separated. Pure. You shall be a kingdom of priests. I am bringing priesthood here. And an holy nation, yes. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Yes. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. Now when they said we're going to do that, God was now going to, now that they are going to do, let's step it up again. Every time you step into a new level without new consecration, you are not going to maintain it. Yes, verse 9 now. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud and tell the people that the people may hear when I speak with you. That is, I'm going to descend. God said, I want to come in a thick cloud. I want them to hear when I'm talking with you and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Yes. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and what? Sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day For the third day the Lord shall come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border in it. Whosoever touch the mount shall be surely put to death, and there shall not, an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned and shot through, whether it be breast or woman or man. It shall not live, beast of man, When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come unto the mount. Yes. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at the mount. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, and Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Did God tell Moses, go and wash yourself? No. Why will the same God? Please pay attention to this thing I'm showing you. That's the reason why, if there's anything about the fatherhood of God that is amazing, is his patience. That's the reason why many Christians can brag and insult and say, hey, what is this special thing? Well, all these pastors, you check those saying that Joseph, John, Jonah, what is this? All these how are they trying to deceive us? I have my own Christianity. The Lord is, this is the reason why there is a lot difference between boys and men. You guys need emergency consecration, because what you're about to experience maybe once in your lifetime. I want you to see how I speak with Moses. But I dare you not touch this mountain. And when God came down, look at the distance between the people and the mountain. And God called from the mount, Moses, come up. Don't just come up. Come to the top where I'm standing. And he went up. What the scripture say about the mountain? That the mountain was altogether on fire and trembling. This is not something that happened and somebody said, what just happened? No. This was a spectacular move of God. He came down, everywhere trembled. Imagine being in that camp. Laid down flat on your face. Nobody had to tell you to have sense. Laid down flat. And looking at the vibration. Is there going to be an earthquake? Are we going to be swallowed today? No. The one coming holds the earth in the palm of his hand. And while they were there, they heard a loud voice. Moses! Come to the top of the mountain. If you were there that day, what will be your desire? To remain outside the camp? Or what did this Moses know that will make this fierce God speak with him face to face as a man speaks to his friend? He understood the ways of God. He revealed his heart to the Israelites. But his ways to who? To Moses. He knew his ways. And at some point, God was having a conversation with Moses and said, these guys are too stubborn. Let me wipe all of them away and start something new with you. And Moses pleaded with God. He said, if you do this thing, this is what people will say. Moses was telling God what people will say about God. He said, this is what people will say. People will say that you only had the power to bring them out of Egypt. You don't have the power to take them to the promised land. So you brought them here and killed them. And God said, Then God said, I repented.
Because the word used there is that, and the Lord repented of the evil which he had proposed in his heart to do. Man spoke, God repented. Hold on a minute. Moses was telling God, if somebody comes to tell me now and say, Papa, don't do this. If these people will think this is, I don't know what is in the mind of people, but the all knowing God. Moses now said, this is what they are going to be saying. No, look at that level. That level of conversation is not the type you put your two hands at your back. It's the type where you are speaking as a man speaks to his friends. How about we just... Do you know the meaning of that statement? Is about to narrow down the tribes to one. The scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. He said, no, I can make... Don't let me go there. It's not a word for today. And Moses said, don't. And God said, it's true. If I do this, this is what they will be saying. All those Amalekites itself. That's what they will say. And my people too were there, the Jebusite. Say, it's true. And God said, okay, I repent. So when Miriam and Aaron were saying to Moses, you are not the only prophet, though. So don't think you're a big boy. Do you know who Miriam was? That was the girl that was ID. She carried Moses in his hand, but now he's been separated to higher purpose. He's her father. Fatherhood is not age. No, it's not. Say, look at you. You are not the only one. God speaks to us. What do you think angels will say then? Rada, rada. And God spoke to them. He said, I heard you say you are a prophet. Who amongst you, in case you have lied, is a prophet? Except that I speak to you in dreams and visions. Amongst all of you, there is none like Moses, whom I speak with face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Are you not afraid to bring this charge against him? Do you know what it means for a man to have access to me without the blood being shed? Because the way to the holies of holies have not been made open. So what did this man know? Because even with Abraham, I didn't descend like that in cloud, fire and everything. And you are not afraid of such a man. God was reintroducing his servant to them. Your life will be as ordinary, as your decision to follow after all your passions. Oh, I can do anything. I just want to live a simple life. I just want to be a Christian. But the moment God separates a man to himself, the man is no longer ordinary. There's now a demand. And listen, the subject of consecration is an elaborate subject. Like I said, I'm still going to teach on different levels of consecration, but that's going to be another series. But you can never talk about consecration without talking about the principle of altars. Because really, the root word where that word was used in the first place describes something that is separated for sacrificial purpose. Are you following what I'm saying here? There were different contexts in which that word was used in scripture. We're going to examine all those contexts. But going by the law of first mention, first description, when you want to offer a sacrifice, when you want to offer something to the Lord, you consecrate it. You separate it from the things that you have. Abel separated the choicest amongst the things that he had unto God. The moment you say, for instance, let me give you another example. In my house, there is a plate and some coolers that my wife used to serve my food. And people can't say they don't know. You can't say you like it and you use it. I'm not the one that will even speak. The system will speak against you. Because people, what are you doing? So it is separated there. If I travel for 3 months, it is separated for that purpose. You can say, hey, I'm so hungry. Are you following what I'm saying? Can I give you another example? Let me give you a bad one. Have you ever seen somebody say, hey, there's no cup, there's no cup, there's no cup. I'm not feeling fine. There's no cup. I want to take Pepsi. There's no cup. Pour it inside the toilet sink and then get straw and put it inside and begin to drink up. Hey, oh, you like that one now? Have you ever seen anybody like that? Even madmen don't do that. True or not true? Because that is separated for a purpose. Yeah. In the same light, when God demands certain consecration for a man, it is to the end that he will be able to express himself through that man. And what makes that expression possible is separation from what God has said be separated from. What makes it possible is that you are, because consecration is not just about separation from a thing, it's about being given. It is separation to cleave, not just separation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Not just separation, no. It is separation to cleave to certain things, onto certain purpose. And that's why, you see, people make reference, oh, we thank God for covenant of life. And there's that walking sort of like, and by the way, if you pay attention to covenant of life only, you will always be seeing just rescue and rescue and rescue. There are many other covenants in this house. You can pay attention. Covenant of praise. As often as you do this, you will never have reason, never lack reasons to praise me. Hey, things are turning upside down. Let me go ahead. This is what God has told us. This is the open check in this house. And you begin to dance in the midst of that praise. And God said, I remember I spoke and I said this. Oh, covenant of ease and all that. Hey, these are the tenets back in it. I have asked. You don't have to check whether it is. As long as it does not violate the law, does not violate my principle, I have said every beginning of the year, separate your first fruit. When it becomes a revelation, then the experience will linger. There is a level where you obey because it's an instruction. There's another level where your obedience is fueled by the fact that this one is a revelation. I know it. God has revealed it to me. Oh, cover. Because you see, people just enjoy different things that work. But there are principles behind what is working. True or not true? Yes. And the message of God is far reaching. That, listen, oh. That's one funny thing. Whenever it has to do with general covenant that God has made with the people, do you know that on the strength of obedience of some others who are not obedient are covered? But for how long? Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? What made Israel a peculiar nation? Be separate. Listen to me. That other nations were worshipping idols. Oh. Are you aware of that? Other nations. Look at Judges 13 from verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. 40 years. What God called evil is a lifestyle of other nations. Are you aware of that? You know Numbers 23:23, where you quote from, surely there is no divination against Israel. Are you aware that's the word of God to Balaam? You can't curse these guys. You can't do anything. You can't curse them. You can't curse people that the Lord has blessed. No. Israel stands before me as a lion's well prepared for the days of battle and all that. They could not be cursed. But look at it. Numbers 25 from verse 1. Numbers 25 from verse 1. Quickly. Numbers 25 from verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom against the daughters of Moab. Yes? And they called the people to sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow to their gods. Yes? And Israel joined himself with Baal Peor, and the anger of God was kindled against Israel. Yes? And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. And the fierce anger of God will be turned away from Israel. All right? Continue, please. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every man. Everyone is men that were joined to Baal-peor. Yes. And behold, the children of Israel came. Sorry. One of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. While they were still crying, one boy just brought a girl again amongst them. Yes, verse 6, verse 7 now. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. What did he do? And went after the man of the Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the belly. So the plague was stayed from the land. I think, is it verse 9 now? Talk about the number of people that died. Verse 9, please. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. People have tried to question, what kind of God did we have in the Old Testament? It must be a very cruel God compared to the one we have in the New. Hold on a minute. So let me give you the difference. You ask me, Seth, that which one is even more merciful? The mercy of God is sure. Which part was mercy expressed the most? Old or new? Old. Have you ever thought about that? Because what looks like mercy here? You do something, you collect. Does that look like mercy? Huh? Old. Why? Man himself was doomed. And the only thing that can forever make man clean is the sinless blood of a sinless man. And that kind of man cannot exist. And God had to find a way and find a man who was in Iraq and say, I want to start a new nation with you. But to start that, get out of your father's house. Get out of, I don't want what I want to start traced to a nation. I want it to be traced to a man who is separated unto me. And from that man, God will give him a son, though he promised him a nation. And from that son, God will give 12 sons. And each of those sons are tribes. And God will find a way to relate. We relate with man in that. You need to understand, in that dead state. And he had to begin to teach them the ordinances of sacrifice, of many things. Let me say this to you. Whether you know it or not, all those who died in the Old Testament, all of them, Jesus had gone back and has preached to them, and they are all right now in heaven. Including Goliath. In what dispensation do we have people that will go to hell? This dispensation. Are you following what I'm saying here? So all the anger, all the fight of God was a fight of jealousy and love. Many times God will describe them to Ezekiel that Israel has committed whoredom. Whoredom means prostitution. You have gone to befriend another God and you are committing immorality with that God. You have joined yourself and become one with that God. It was a battle for love. That I've set my face on you as a nation, but you have not reciprocated the same. He was fighting for love. Trying to preserve something. Listen to me. We can never treat this subject without first understanding that there is something called the system of altars and sacrifice. What does that mean? Hold on a minute, don't write. So let me try and explain and bring it to the context of the new creation. Is that okay? Good. And I said to you that an altar. Please, Pastor Toby, come. Carry this thing for me. Please put it there. If you see shrines, apart from all the costumes, all the different things that they have in that shrine, there is a major thing that makes the shrine what it is. And it is not those costumes on the wall. Yesterday I stumbled on a video of an herbalist in Ghana who was in an interview, live TV, said he wants to prove to the interviewer that there's charm. And they put pot. Listen, you might look at this and say, it's not real, it's not real, it's scam, it's scam. Live TV, and put pot there, and yam, and they sliced the yam, and they put the pot on a table. You are seeing it, this is a table. And he said, I'm going to cook this yam. And he oiled something in his hand, and he touched that pot with it, and didn't speak a word, was just saying some things. In the next 5 minutes, the pot, water inside began to foam. The yam was boiling. The yam, you are seeing the yam on table. The reason why many of you don't pray is because what you have believed is that there's not like powers of darkness. It's calm. Okay? There's power. Hey! And the day you will know who you are is the day you stand face to face with another power. You can't deny that this is not power. Somebody just hit somebody at the back of his head like this. Poof! And began to urinate. And was shaking on the floor. Do you have what it takes to say, get up! Get up now! And the fellow is fine. That's why the most sincere prayers you hear is on plane. Because people know it can be their last. That's when the man will now, he will be so clean now. Understand how I wish I've been devoted. How I wish I say, in the name of Jesus, whom Pastor Femi Lazarus preached, get up now. Hey, I don't know you. And the man put the thing there, boiling the yam. When he was done boiling the yam on live TV, he told the interviewer, do you have your plate? He said, I have a plate for you. Brought out his plate, dish the yam, and said, taste it. And the man tested, he said, this is a cooked yam. Before his presence, now they put it there. So there are powers. The system of an altar is a system constructed spiritually. Everything with which it is done speaks a spiritual language. It is to the end that when a spiritual language is spoken on this, the language can be anything, but most importantly, sacrifice. It will communicate to the expected spirit. Pay attention. And it is potent enough to make that spirit switch realms, even when the spirit does not want to. So an altar as a system is a system of summon. And it is not subjected to the will of the one they are summoning. Once you understand it, you have legally summoned someone or a spirit or a force. And that's why, please pay attention. Your spirit is also a form of an altar. I'm just going to mention in place, in passing. If you do something bad consistently, the spirit responsible for it will get your attention. Just be lost in randomly and refuse to allow God to help you deal with it. The spirit of lust will be interested in you. And you've gotten there because you've spoken the language of the spirit. Consistency attracts spirit. But please pay attention. The strength of every altar is based on the power of the sacrificial demand to make it potent. Meaning that no altar is more powerful than the sacrifice on it. Are you following what I'm saying here? That sacrifice is what gives credence to what the altar is. That sacrifice is the language of that spirit. That when you put it there, you get the attention and then the spirit pays attention to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Is it simple enough what I'm showing you? So if you get something and you say, we are going to sacrifice this to this altar. It means from the, have you seen people carry sacrifice? Huh? And they will carry the sacrifice in the, I've been in countries where they carry sacrifice in broad daylight. Carry, whether in the night, but they, some they have instruction. When you are carrying this sacrifice, don't look back. When you are carrying this sacrifice, don't talk to anyone. When you are carrying this sacrifice, this. When you get to the junction, 3-foot path, you drop it, say so and so and so and so, leave. Regardless of what you feel, don't look back. Run for your life. And they will carry that sacrifice. And one spirit from wherever it is will understand somebody is speaking my language here. The spirit will not eat that thing, but it means something to that spirit. And the spirit responds. There are consequences too for those who come in through that that window. Christ is the way. If you go through the window, there are consequences. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why people can go and do ritual. They tell them, listen to me, money will come. But there's a need for sacrifice. And then they say, we want blood, so and so. I think I shared the story with you. Some boys who went to wash car at car wash. And they were asking themselves questions. And asked the other person. And said, what did Baba say you should do? And said, Baba said, I should buy akara. That's beans cake. And pour it on the road. And he said, when I pour it on the road, I should wait somewhere. And wait till cars, or a car matches the beans cake. And bring the beans cake. That was what they told him for his sacrifice. And when the car matched the beans cake, and he took it to the Baba, and said, Baba, this is it. Baba said, you will have this money, but the same way this car matched this beans cake, that's the same way a vehicle will match your head when you will die. But money you will have. When I heard, I was just wondering, what if the car, you know, there's a way car will match beans cake and go with it. That's the way they will go to it. Those who are in the kingdom of darkness understand this thing more than believers. But for us, we have not been asked for sacrifice of bulls, of rams, of goats. Listen to me. A sacrifice was paid though. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, became our perfect sacrifice. He was on the cross and the anger of God towards sin was extended towards him till he cried, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Ah, the anger of God was unleashed on him. Not for anything he did, but for what he was carrying. When he received it, he said, I'm thirsty. Ah, they pierced him. Scourging, he has lost blood. That cross was to kill you of dehydration. Lost blood. They gave him vinegar. At the tail end of a man's life, can't even give him water. And when he received it, he said, it's finished. Yielded up the ghost. From that day, anybody who believes in that sacrifice, what that means is, when you believe in that sacrifice, it means in your heart, which is an altar. The Holy Ghost can now be summoned and come and live. Before, he couldn't do that. Once you believe, you have him. Are you seeing now that when a sacrifice is complete, a spirit is summoned? When the sacrifice of Jesus was complete, anyone who believed, say, go and wait, tarry in Jerusalem. And who were those that tarried? All those who believed what he came to die for. And that's why before he told them that, he first came to address their unbelief. He first came to deal everything doubt, dealt with it. So he now is a perfect sacrifice, blood shed on the altar of their heart. And the Holy Ghost can now descend upon that. Now we can receive, somebody can say receive the Holy Ghost. It's because the blood, precious blood, was shed. So whenever something is devoted, that thing is said to be consecrated. From the moment there's a demand, it is no longer yours. For instance, somebody says, God, I want to walk with you in certain level of this. And God said, this is the demand. I will have you wake up every 3 a.m. and pray in tongues till 4. There is nothing ritualistic about the time. But as far as you are concerned, oh God, this is the demand. Don't try to find doctrine around it. This is a talk between myself and you. This is the demand. Oh Lord, I want to walk in certain level of finance. I want to walk in certain level of this. And God says, pay attention to this. From the moment he says that, whatever it is that his face is upon as a demand is no longer yours. M- Many of us don't understand this principle. Anybody will matter and become anything with God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Christ has paid the ultimate price. But for that Christ or for a reality of his to be expressed through you, there are demands. It is not for careless. That's why it is not every Christian who is powerful with God. Is every Christian? No. People are where they are for what they can do and what they can't do. Kingdom finance. People operate where they are for what they can do and what they can't do. What is the code? What is the instruction that is specific to you, guiding the operations of God that you want to see around your life? What has he said? Or are we just living carelessly and living every day as it comes? There's nothing about your life that God has said, this is mine. When I was serving, I saw many evil. I didn't know that sugar daddies can come to family house to pick girls. Esco. I said, what is this? We'll go to church on Sunday morning. The security guy outside the gate of the house gave his life to Christ while I was ministering. Received the Holy Ghost. Said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, what? He said, I've sinned against all this house. I want to come and confess. I said, okay, before you confess, talk to me. What do you want to confess? He said, sister, so and so and so. Every time all of you have gone to church, I have the key upstairs. We look everywhere. This boy has the key. He will go up here and that sister will have sex. And this same house. He said, yes, sir. This is what you want to confess before everybody. Listen to me. You know, we have mature Christians and we have baby Christians. Baby Christians are the loudest. Yeah. Because they don't understand anything. If my daughter wakes up now, she can decide to shout and disturb this whole place. If the hand of God comes upon her, she looks at the meeting and says, okay, it's my dad. He's like, it's my dad. Okay, he's preaching. Okay, let me keep quiet now. But if hunger sets in, as a child, think like a child, speak like a child. But when you become mature, when you begin to understand that there's a level where God looks at a man and say, this thing about your life, give me. You know what happened to Abraham? I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Yes, Lord. Walk before me and be perfect. Yes, Lord. Do this and do that. Yes, Lord. From the moment that Isaac came, we never heard of any interaction between Abraham and God for over 17 years. Are you seeing how much God can be patient? And one day God looked down. There are many of you that the reason why you are not being scolded is because you have never been admitted to school. It is a child who is in school, they can flop for late coming. Not the one who is strolling through the gate of the school. There are many of you who are not admitted in the school of the Spirit. Hence, the peace you have. Any other nation may say that God is not handing them over to Philistines, Amalekites, and all that. Because they are not a peculiar treasure. But from the moment you are, everything has consequence. Many of the peace you are boasting about is the real disaster. The silence of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are people from the day they gave their life to Christ, they've just been at the gate. They know they are not ready for anything serious with God. Talk to them in a way they don't like in church. That's the last time you will see them in that. They move. They say, we move. And I believe that one of the reasons why we are where we are today in this generation was because at some point we stopped making disciples. That's the truth. We had a conversation. Please take this back. With one of the fathers in the body of Christ. And we asked him a question from our heart. We look at your generation, the sacrifice you guys paid, the things you guys do, the work you have with God. Ah, when we look at this thing, it's like blood saved you. Before it got to us, somebody diluted it. It's not the same Jesus you guys met. The same Jesus. Look at your story. We know your story. This doesn't make sense. What happened to our own generation? You know what he did? He looked at me, and with so much heaviness of heart, he said, "You guys are not the problem. We are your problem." I said, "No, sir. How do you mean?" He said, "What we received, ought, we diluted it for all of you." And I have seen that there is a way the devil is trying to program the media as a tool of intimidation against the church. Such that if you see the way they are dragging a pastor for raising seed, even if the church is dying of need, nobody. And many churches have cut off many practices, not because God said cut them off, but because the man of God does not want to be dragged. We must come to that point where we are dead. Drag us from today to tomorrow. If you drag a dead man, he doesn't die more. He's dead. The worst that can happen is the draggers are receiving the Holy Ghost as you are dragging. What's this thing? Spread the gospel through it. There are some of us who will never bow or cower for the devil. Are you following what I'm telling you here? This generation has a responsibility to stand in authority of the Spirit against the wiles. What is the first wile? Intimidation. You say, me, the kind of person I am, this nobody can talk to me anyhow. From the moment you are a worker, you can be talked to anyhow. It doesn't have to make sense. Okay, you go back and learn. You can be corrected. You can be disciplined. You can, because from that moment you are separated to a purpose. You can't be a worker and live couple's life and expect us to keep quiet. Are you married? No. What's this girl doing in your house? Okay, come. You'll be dealt with. We are doing this. This is not scriptural. What is the meaning of this? If you like, be the one who is giving the highest offering. That money perish with you. That's the kind of Christianity that we practice. We have the responsibility to bring back the authority of God's word. If you look at what was described in Joel 2, it didn't look like a lamb generation. It's a lion generation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Lift your hands and say it loud and clear. I have, come on now, say it again loud and clear, been bought with a price. I am no longer my own. I belong to God. International School of Ministry, November last year. I shared the story with you. I was ministering. My wife was in the hospital. She gave birth in the process. I was ministering when they had to take her to the hospital. One of the nurses, who is one of our pastors here, sent me this. Said, "Papa, what's your genotype? What's happening? No, what's your blood group?" Because I was monitoring the service online, the message popped up. It was like my heart left me. Because my daughter was a bit sick. They're about to do blood transfusion. They've mentioned that. But I've learned enough to know I sit down. I am no longer my own. So I finished and went to the hospital. I said, "Where is my daughter?" She said, "She's fine." The message you sent to me, what's happening? I said, no, I was just asking. God said, "Don't rebuke her. Because next thing that was going to happen, she was going to collect." He didn't know I was preaching. God said, "Don't rebuke her." I orchestrated it. I want to see if you honor me. Now, go to where your daughter is. Look at her well. Does this look like a child you should worry about? I said, no. Give her to me. I give you, Lord. I move. I have zero worries. When she cries, it's my wife that run. I don't know anywhere. She's crying. It's praising God. Zero worries. The moment God makes a demand, it is no longer yours. It is on the altar. You will never experience true move of God in your life until you understand this principle. What is that thing God has called for? And say, put it down. Are you following what I'm saying to you? You know, there are things that people can brag or boast about. I can't. Why? It's on the altar. There are things you can't bear yet. Maybe on Tuesday, I'm going to go a bit deeper. I told God, I want to enter into a point where my finances like this. Like, say, let's make an agreement. Say, yes, Lord. He said, make this your structure. This. Any service you attend, this is your offering. The greatest test are the days that that demand is the last thing. That's the day, that's the kind of day God says, now I know that you honor me. Because the moment he speaks, and the test to test your belief in what he says, the moment God says, do this for prosperity, it's very likely that the next thing you experience is the peak of being broke. Then what he wants to check is the continuity, your devotion to what he gave to you as a precept. Even if it means dying. So when a man understands consecration, there are things that needs not to be a sermon to him. They are a personal revelation. He understands that as far as my life is concerned, it is separated to this. I am separated unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Scripture says that he that comes to the place of honor, but knoweth it not, is like a beast that perish. Many of you just talk and confess about certain things functioning. I operate in certain grace. Those are the most elementary level. What you are doing cannot be sustained. If you walk under a grace that you don't understand the codes behind it, there is no sustainability. Yesterday they were holding a meeting in church. And one of the guys that was talking about finance says that never use breakthrough as a strategy for finance. That's a very powerful word. It means that something suddenly happened. That is not a strategy. The fact that it happened now does not mean it will happen again in the next 10 years. You must have principles in place that allows you to renew this thing and keep you fresh financially. Oh, we bless God. Covenant of this, covenant of... Do you know the codes? What God has separated
asked for. What he has said, by this will I know this house. If you put this in place and know this, this will be upon your life. What you are still talking about is a breakthrough. It is the instruction behind it that makes it sustainable. And that's why we recount this thing as we are concerned. Listen to me. It is so serious. Many people have misunderstood me. It doesn't matter. Every February or so, I remove people from sons and daughters platform. I do not want to have anybody that will be a casualty. God has said, let it not be that there is no grace working for you. This is the code for us. That sacrifice is compulsory. We do this every time. And when I follow you up, many times I'm teaching, and as I'm talking to you, you don't know I'm rebuking somebody on my phone. And I'm telling somebody, you are my spiritual son. You are posting on WhatsApp. I'm watching you now. The person, this man is preaching. How is he seeing me? I'm here. And I say, oh boy, shut that thing down now. And go and join the meeting. I go on Mixlr. I must see increment. Why? God said that this thing that is operating on your life will be extendable to people who see you and recognize it and value it and also honor it. Let me say this to you. If you are going to have anything that can be repeated again and again, you must know the principles that guarantees the coming. Many of you had touched certain amount only once in your life. Operated in certain dimensions only once in your life. Operated in certain things, you can't repeat it. You are like the prophet of old. If the finger of God comes, you don't understand what is the principle that can make you minister in over 100 places in a year. And in each of those places, everything is fresh. Whether the people are open, whether they are unbelieving or not, you have come to get to a place of overflow where you know what it means and the principle it takes to bring you fresh. We're not talking about some people who do it around, eat some things today. We don't know what like tomorrow. No. Freshness. You must have understood what is the sacrificial demand on that altar. Sometimes an aspect of your life and God says, give this to me. Sometimes says, others can do this, you never. And that thing should never be a sermon to you from that day. It is now a key that unlocks the doors. Abraham, give me your only son, Isaac. Your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And each step he took, as far as he was concerned, the boy was dying. And Isaac said, we have the wood. We have the fire. Where is the lamb? And he looked at him. The Lord will provide for himself a ram. And when they got to the mountain, and he held Isaac. What you thought was, I said, lie down there. Who does that? And he tied him. And he was going to cut him. And an angel spoke, don't lay your hand on that lad. Do you think Isaac will get up and say, thank you, daddy? Abraham, listen to me. The idea of that instruction was to take Abraham back to where God met him, where only God is his treasure.
Anything that takes that seat will have to die. Oh, God has instructed me to do this, do this, this. You will keep everything that now confirms to you how good God is, apart from believing in Him. Do not sin it. Let me tell you what I mean. The moment you have things, physical things, as a proof of God's goodness, they will have to die. God wants you to know He is good because He is good. Such that the absence of nothing will not take away anything from your belief about Him. So if He gives you something, thank Him, but please move on quickly and say, this is not the reason why God is good. He's good all by Himself, with or without this. Because God is not interested in giving you another God. He wants you to be in a place where your best possession is Himself. Hence the demand. Hence the separation. Separate yourself unto me for a 3 days fast. This is my tenant with you. This is my work with you. Forget about the other pastors are doing it for. Are you other pastors? No. Walk with me. Be thou perfect. If you are going to go beyond the level of the crowd, you must hear what they are not hearing. You must be able to do what others cannot do to get the result they cannot get. And you do it in Christ. Let this sink. That there are demands greater than general demands. There are demands. By Tuesday, I'm going to be showing you the ultimate consecration, which is you on the altar. Not things now. No. Are you following what I'm saying here? Lift your hands to God. And I want you to make this confession again. Nothing confirms your goodness to me. Not anything. Not my wife. Not my daughter. Not my children. Not my money. Not car. Not houses. Nothing. You are God. You are good. All by yourself. I believe it. I believe you. I believe in your goodness. I am not a slave to those material things. I'm not a slave to those things. They confirm nothing. They are just what they are. I trust you with all my life, with all my being, that you are the God of all sufficiency. I believe in you with all my heart. I devote myself to you. I need nothing to validate your existence. I need nothing to validate your goodness. I need nothing to validate your integrity. I know you are God and I know you are good because Scripture says so. By now I expect you to be on your feet and reaffirm this in the best possible way. There is a reason why you must say that. Go ahead. Anything I have used as validation, either marriage or anything, to prove that you are good, I repent. I repent. I repent. And I know that you are God and good all by yourself.
Sanctuary,
run,
pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, Shakabahadekai Shate, Shahande Kabila Namarta.
Your hands, people.
And I want you to say this loud and clear. Say it, sweet Holy Spirit. Come on now. Is there someone who is in need of his fellowship? Say it again. Sweet Holy Spirit. You are my helper. Come reveal Jesus to me. Magnify him in my heart. Help me live a devoted life. Sweet Holy Spirit. I remember the instructions that the Lord has given to me, guiding certain manifestations in my life, and how that I have not been able to do them with my own strength. Sweet Holy Spirit, I ask for help. Help me. Can you make that a prayer? Please. Don't pray. Now, this is a point where you go honestly. What are those things? Tenant, binding operations in your life. You cannot live like an ordinary man. Mention them. And for some of you in areas that the devil has cheated you, just giving flimsy reasons why you've not been able to walk in those tenets. You've not been able to walk in those instructions. Now it looks like God was not the one who even said it. Jesus. Help us. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Look up. Consecrations are seals over covenant. They are seals. It makes the dividends of covenant sustainable. Oh, somebody stands and say, nothing can happen to me. Are you saying that because somebody else said it? The things that works in God, do you understand the mechanics that is responsible for their operations? The things that God makes possible, do you understand the spiritual laws that guarantees the operation? Do you understand the tenet of agreement and sacrifices that needs to be in place? If you fail to do it, you can still be what you are and live in your ordinariness. But for this operation to be here, this is the demand. Or you just want to live an ordinary life. Get married. Give birth. Repeat the same cycles of your parents. Have some house. You live with your husband. And die. In ripe old age. How do you call that fulfillment? Do you know what it means to journey with God and the instructions that guides it? Are you aware God can tell you that you have to wait a certain period before you can even think of relationship? Yes. That it doesn't make sense to. That's why when you are pregnant with a Jesus, you go and look for an Elizabeth. Don't look. You can't get instructions. There are instructions that when you share with certain people, it will die on arrival. Because they don't know what it means to wield that kind. So they speak with their own sentiment, human wisdom, and kill it. Will God still work with you? Yes. But that operation shut down. All eyes closed. Are there people here that this morning it is specifically a day of reawakening of the instructions that should guard certain operations in your life? You know, this one is not like you are. God gave you at some point. Lift your hands where you are standing. I want to pray for you. I'm talking about those who specifically have not been able to keep it. Lift your hands. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. What you need is a revelation. But particularly many of you need to come to the end of yourself.
where your ability to think you have the strength to get results because you are still young, you have the strength to get what you want. It takes a lot for you to now turn and say, God, help me. What might happen is that God is waiting like he did to Abraham when he was 99 years, then God appeared. When he was at the end of his rope. Don't wait till you get to the end of your strength. When your life has been proven, as you've lived to prove that a man can amount to nothing without God, then you now begin to trust him in your old age. I ask that the Holy Ghost, who is the enabler, will from today begin to enable obedience and empower it within you. That you will begin to live a life that is in consistency with a commitment behind that covenant. That you will not fail God. I ask that the mercy of God that passes all understanding will speak for you. I ask that from today you are divinely helped. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we give Lord a big clap? Can I make a request from you? If you want to live a life with a predictable outcome, what God said, and I know the thought that I think towards Jeremiah 29:11, towards you, thought of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's a predictable outcome. A believer should have a predictable outcome. The journey may not be predictable. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you are going to live a life with such outcome, please now pay attention to covenant. Don't live this careless life and join people to say anything. Let me tell you this. I should not say this, but I'm going to tell you. One day I lay down in my prayer room and I said, God, I observe that certain aspects of my... I observe that there's a drop in influence. If there's anything I'm extending that is not fully representing you, please help me. Help me. Because you must understand the law that governs it. God doesn't push you out to reflect yourself. Help me. And God said, nothing. And he said, while you were ministering, you said that I am not speaking to the body of Christ. I'm speaking to you. He said, so I decided to shrink it to their size. Many times you see me come here and talk about how much I love the body of Christ. And God said, I only honor the words of your mouth. I said, Lord, no. I repent. Everything you give me, I'm concerned about your body generally. Are you seeing how that if you don't even keep track of this thing, your weight can be dropping over the years? And as long as you have some petty things to celebrate, are you following what I'm saying? And that's why the first question is, what is your own definition of greatness? If your definition is shallow, we should not blame you if you are misbehaving because you don't expect much. No one is as dangerous as a man who doesn't have expectation. He can come to a place, mess it up, ease, get out. What's he expecting? Nothing. But are there believers who have expectations in God? Do you have expectation? You should be able to keep track of the journey. I noticed this thing is no longer working. You said it. Lord, what did I do? Let me tell you something. Recently, myself and the boys went to get something. And somebody did something very, very embarrassing. I didn't like it. And I asked God. Because the boys, of course, they faced the person. And I said, God, I recognize that there should be something. How can I be that there's no... Have you seen people that you are seeing them, you have access to them, yet you can't disregard them? You can't. It's like there's a wall. You just know you can't go this far. And God said, I called your attention to this principle, this. You didn't honor it. Get ready for more. Do you keep track? Anything can happen to you now and you cannot go back and hold God. I said, God, this. I know you are supreme, but you told me as long as this, Are there principles guarding what you are expecting? Or you are just banking on the fact that I go to a church, there's a covering there, I know I'm covered. Yes. But that's the most elementary. For that to even work as an extension over everyone, are there instructions behind? How do you just brag about covenant? You don't know the instruction behind it. Is covenant just a statement? Is it not an agreement that as long as you do this and do that, do you know the agreement? Are you following what I'm saying here? I decree and I declare over every one of you, if there's any force that supervises the failure of those ahead of you and is trying to make sure at all cost you fail. There are people here, what is happening right now is that the devil is placing a demand for your soul. And like Jesus said to Peter, he said, the devil has chosen as desire to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. I decree and declare in the name that is above all names, today that devil loses grip over you. Amen. That attraction to sin, that pull that wants to get you grounded daily, there's no breathing space to seek God. That is the devil desiring your soul. Today, I beg you free from him. Amen. You will not fail. You've been pained with the pain of those who failed. Your children will not experience the pain of your own failure. Look up. Look up. I beg you in the name of God, don't eat your tomorrow today. If there's a way, me, I know the way of painful sacrifice. That's why you see, when I say let's do this in church, I quickly say I'm the first. I know the way. And those who think I can teach, I can't. My life, if you follow me well, that's the less you will hear me speak to you. I just want you to watch what I do. See it now. This is it. It's not hidden. It's not a cult. This is it. I told God. Years back, one of my friends that used to teach me the Bible, I said, God, if all you will do with my life is to make me the bed that was feeding Elijah, I'm okay. I just want this person to be fine. I told God about my spiritual father. I said, Lord, this man, bless me. And you will see that he will never have to struggle to get anything done that he needs to do. He doesn't need 10,000 sons. Just give me these resources. And God won't bring it. Because you can forget in the days of your prosperity. And forget what you told God. Personal commitment now. This is my commitment. I am devoted to this. Anytime I see him, the next thought is, what can I upgrade? What can I change? When I go on my knees and those hands come, they don't meet me twice the same way. The devil has bewitched this generation. There are people who have zero desires for the things of God. You are just saying God should bless you. Your esteem is not built. You are not fine. There are people you want to prove to that you are big. There are people you want to use money to prove to that they look down on you. That's why your testimony is about those who look down on you. Our songs is about that. Those who think I can't become anything. As you grow, it will occur to you that you were even blessed so that those people will not be shamed. Because sometimes it's those same people who have insulted you and are outsin the promise. Those who threw Joseph to the pit. Huh? Was Levi not amongst them? Talk to me now. Judah! And God said, though you might have gone through this, but all the importance is to the end that they are preserved. I'm talking covenants. I'm talking principles. I'm talking devotions. Lift your hands up. I don't know what to tell you. I can just teach you with integrity of heart. Tell God, open my eyes. You are not hearing certain things, not because God does not want to speak. Sometimes he can't trust you with those instructions yet. Because the last one he said that was even small. You did not do it. Open my eyes. Let me see. Amen. Let me tell you this. You may not like it. It's going to be a very heavy one. And I'm going to bless you. One day I cried to God. I said, God. Because you can put your petition. I said, I can count ministries and ministers who don't have to cry to you about certain things. Because you have placed me here. And families. I said, I have no one. I'm not saying you are not people. I'm talking. There's a level I'm talking from. I said, I have no one. And God said, look at your life journey. Look at your life. I am your sufficiency. Do this. Do that. Don't ever look back at any man. I know what I'm saying. That's why I say you may not like it. I just felt that all my people are still at a level where they still need help. Or some who are just coming up gradually on their feet. God said, stay where I placed you. Do this. A time is coming in your life. This becomes a daily flow. Ah, thank you, Lord. I will never ask you again. Why can't you give up on certain things? Because you understand what they are. Life is difficult for the blind. If your eyes of understanding is not open, there are things you can never. There will just be a desire. These things are keys that open certain doors. Lift your hands. Say, Father. Look at the way you are saying it.
Father.
Call him loud and clear.
Father.
Today. Give me my own keys. Help me to see them. Help me to hear your heartbeat. The things you don't say in a hurry, tell me. I will listen. Go ahead. You have 30 seconds to cry. These are prayers of destiny. Look at the way you are praying it. Look at the. These are prayers of destiny. Cry! Cry! Light, shine in my path. Let me know. Shahakete benevo kotekeba. Rende kepilai. Shatekren. It is done. In Jesus' name we're praying. Put your right hand on your head. What spirit man is instructions? The things they are able to pick from the throne room. That's what makes difference. From today, you begin to pick the right signals. Because you are hearing the right instruction, you'll be able to do the right things. The commitment that will change your life forever. May you hear it. The voice of the flesh is silenced in your life forever. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a praise. Is that the way you do it? Hallelujah! 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 Do you know why we rejoice at the word? Even if it comes as a rebuke, as long as we are seeing something new, our experience is going to be new. That's why we rejoice. Hold on. That even if you stand before God and God rebukes you, rejoice. Oh, because that is even better than his silence. Can we rejoice again and give God praise? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. What I'm showing you this morning
is the principle for effective sustainability.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.